Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. As always, I'm thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. And all I can say is it's a great word this morning. Woo! Ezekiel is doing it. I love this prophet. And he has blessed me tremendously, giving us warning and giving us blessings and giving us understanding. And the word that God gave me this morning for our title is this, coming out of Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. And it is, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. Can y'all say that with me? I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. We all need a spiritual upgrade. You know, your car has to get tuned. Your spirit has to get tuned as well. And how do we get tuned? We get tuned from the Word of God. Every day when we come together and get into our word, we're getting a spiritual tune-up. And so today, if you have to have a title for a message, it would be a spiritual tune-up is what we're getting this morning. So let's get ready for a lot of highlightables today. You know, there's a lot going on in this word, and I am excited to get started. So let's get started and move forward in God's word today. Father God in heaven, we are so grateful that you woke us up this morning, gave us a new day, Lord God. Thankful for the do-over. As we know, we are blessed to be called your children. Lord God, I lift this word up to you today, asking you, Father God, as always, to increase as I decrease. And Father God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my very humble heart be acceptable in your holy and majestic sight. For Lord God, you are my strength. You are my redeemer. You are my father, and I am your daughter. And I am grateful that you have called me to go to work for you this morning. Father God, I thank you for the tune-up. I thank you for this word, this majestic and mighty word today. And Lord God, I thank you for your son, my savior, my friend, the bridegroom. And I pray that I will be the best bride that I can be for when he comes again, that I will have my all ready, that I will not be delayed. In the name of Christ Jesus, again, I pray, lifting up this word and thanking you, Father God, for another day to go to work for you. Amen. 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 You know, this morning as I woke up, I had a little ditty in mind. It's time to go to work. Who do I work for? I work for God. Hallelujah. So it is time to go to work. Who do we work for? We work for God. And we're getting our tune up this morning as we get ready for our day. And our tune up is the Word of God. So thanking God for a great Sunday yesterday. Wow. All I can do is say, thank you to Table of Life Ministries for spiritual and physical food. I don't think I have to cook for a week that I had so much food yesterday. I'm not sure I'll be able to eat for a week because I had so much food on yesterday. But I tell you, Ministerial Alliance of Springfield and surrounding areas, you are awesome. I can tell you, as a member of the Alliance, our Thanksgiving program was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful. So thank you and shout out to Bishop Jonathan Franklin, who is our president, and to Pastor T. Raymond Duncan, who preached, oh my God, he preached about being thankful. And the word that he gave us came from, I believe, Luke, and he talked about the 10 leopards and how 9 kept going and 1 came back to just say thank you. And so this morning, we got to ask God and tell God, thank you. Thank you for being our Father. Thank you for loving us more than we sometimes love ourselves. And thank you, Lord, for putting a new spirit within us, you know, giving us a new heart and giving us a new spirit as we get tuned up this morning with the word. So let's get into it. And the word of God this morning is coming out of Ezekiel chapter 35 through chapter 36, verse 38 for the Old Testament, along with our Psalms 131, 1 through 3, Proverbs 29, 22 through 3. And we are coming still in the book of James. Woo, Lordy, can I say I am in love with James. And, you know, we talk about James, you know, again, just James in those 10 or less words, real Christian faith shown by one's good works. Can I say it again? Real Christian faith is shown by one's good works. Because who do we work for? We work for God. And the good works that we are doing for God. So thank you all again this morning. Let's get started. I think I said that before, but we're going to really do it this time. And it says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, set your face against Mount Seir and prophesy against it and say to it, thus says the Lord God, behold, O Mount Seir, I am against you. I will stretch out my hand against you and make you most desolate. I shall lay your cities waste, and you shall be desolate. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Because you have had an ancient hatred and have shed the blood of the children of Israel by the power of the sword at the time of their calamity, when their iniquity came to an end. Therefore, as I live, says the Lord God, I will prepare you for blood, and blood shall be pursued, and blood shall pursue you. Since you have not hated blood, therefore blood shall pursue you. Thus I will make Mount Seir most desolate, and cut off from it the one who leaves and the one who returns. And I will fill its mountains with the slain on your hills and in your valleys and in all your ravines. Those who are slain by the sword shall fall. I will make you perpetually desolate, and your city shall be uninhabited, when you shall know that I am the Lord, because you have said these two nations and these two countries shall be mine, and we will possess them, although the Lord was there. Therefore, as I live, says the Lord God, I will do according to your anger and according to the envy which you showed in your hatred against them. And I will make myself known among them when I judge you. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have heard all your blasphemies, which you have spoken against the mountains of Israel, saying, they are desolate. They are given to us to consume. Thus with your mouth you have boasted against me and multiplied your words against me. I have heard them. Thus says the Lord God, the whole earth will rejoice when I make you desolate, as you rejoice because the inheritance of the house of Israel was desolate. So I will do to you. You shall be desolate, O Mount Seir, as well as all of it. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. Ooh, I told y'all it was a powerful word this morning. And you, son of man, prophesy to the mountains of Israel and say, O mountain of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, because the enemy has said of you, aha, the ancient heights have become our possession. Therefore, prophesy and say, thus says the Lord God, because they made you desolate and swallowed you up on every side, so that you became the possession of the rest of the nations, and you are taken up by the lips of talkers and slandered by the people. Therefore, O mountain of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God to the mountains, the hills, the rivers, the valleys, and desolate wastes, and the cities that have been forsaken, which became plunder and mockery to the rest of the nations all around. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, surely I have spoken in my burning jealousy against the rest of the nations and against all Edom, who gave my land to themselves as a possession with wholehearted joy and spiteful minds in order to plunder its open country. Therefore, prophesy concerning the land of Israel and say to the mountains, the hills, the rivers, and the valleys, thus says the Lord God, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and my fury because you have borne the shame of the nations. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I have raised my hand in an oath that surely the nations that are around you shall bear their own shame. But you, O mountains of Israel, you shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people Israel, for they are about to come. For indeed I am for you, and I will turn to you, and you shall be healed and sown. I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, all of it, and the city shall be inhabited, and the ruins rebuilt. I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bear young. I will make you inhabited as in former times, and do better for you than at your beginnings. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Yes, I will cause men to walk on you, my people Israel. They shall take possession of you, and you shall be their inheritance. No more shall you bereave them of children. Thus says the Lord God, because they say to you, you devour men and bereave your nation of children. Therefore, you shall devour men no more, nor to bereave your nation anymore, says the Lord God. Nor will I let you hear the taunts of the nations anymore, nor bear the reproach of the peoples anymore, nor shall you cause your nation to stumble anymore, says the Lord God. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own ways and deeds. To me, their way was like the uncleanliness of a woman in her customary impurity. Therefore, I poured out my fury on them for the blood they had shed on the land and for their idols with which they had defiled it. So I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed throughout the countries. I judged them according to their ways and their deeds. When they came to the nations, wherever they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said of them, these are the people of the Lord, and yet they have gone out of his land. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel have profaned among the nations, wherever they went. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in before your eyes, hallowed in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. What a word this morning. Ooh, thank you, Lord. And as we continue in this word, and we'll do the life lessons and questions and things after we finish this chapter, I will deliver you from all your uncleanliness. I will call for the grain and multiply it and bring no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of your trees and the increase of your fields, so that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you will loathe yourself in your own sight for your iniquities and your abominations. For your sake I do this, says the Lord God. Let it be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded. For your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, on the day that I cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also enable you to dwell in the cities, and the ruins shall be rebuilt. The desolate land shall be tilled instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass by. So they will say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden, and the wasted, desolate, and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations which are left all around you shall know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus says the Lord God, I will also let the house of Israel inquire me to do this for them. I will increase their men like a flock offered as holy sacrifices, like the flock at Jerusalem on its feast days. So shall the ruined cities be filled with flocks of men. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo, Jesus. That word just touched my heart. It took me there. Whew. We got to understand that God is going to call his children home. Are you going to be packed and ready? Are you going to be packed and ready? Are you going to have yourself ready for an hardened heart? God wants us to know who he is. And he is our Father. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. God wants to put a new heart and spirit within us, hard-hearted, hard-headed, rebellious children. He wants to change his children. He wants us to be better. He wants us to know who our daddy is. You know, so many children are out there who have never seen their father, don't know. Some of them don't even know his name. But we know we have an everlasting Father, and we know his name. We know his heart, and his heart is a heart of love for each and every one of us, or he wouldn't have given his son, gave his son because he loved us. And all he's asking is for us to accept him as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I love my Lord, and I want to be better. I want to have that spirit that is open and ready to receive more of you, Lord. We got to open up our hearts, open up our minds, and open up our souls to be better, to change us, oh God, from the inside out. We got to pray that every day. Lord, change me. Make me better. Make me whole. Oh, Lord, thank you for this word this morning. The prophet has spoken today. He has preached a word from the Lord God. And this is some life questions from Dr. Stanley. And for those that are just joining us, moving forward is a Bible study. It's actually a Bible reading. And what we do is we read the Bible, or I guess, I'm looking for readers. I'm always looking for readers. So God will send readers for next year. I'm believing that. But it is we are trying to read the Word of God in 1 year, the whole entire Bible. And we have read from Genesis to Ezekiel chapter 35, 36. Today, we have read from Genesis chapter 1 to Ezekiel chapter 36. And our verse that we just finished on was verse 38. And I tell you, it has been a mighty word, and we're not finished yet. But I tell you this, whew, I am so filled up right now, because this has been a mighty word. You know, we have so much craziness going on in our world, and the enemy is coming to try to divide the church, to create confusion within the body of Christ. But the devil has to know, not today, Satan. Churches have got to start standing up and saying, no, not today. We are not going to allow you to come in and create confusion. You know, God is telling us, be careful who you allow in your pulpit. Be careful who you allow to speak over your congregations. We don't want polluted congregations because we're allowing polluted words to be spoken. The word of God is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it. We got to run into God's word. We got to run into whatever it is God has for us. And you got to read your word yourself, so that when somebody stands before you and bastardizes the word of God and changes the context of it, you got to know that is not in context. That is not God's word. And that is not what it was meant for. We got to start speaking up and speaking truth to power. The word of God stands alone. It is a strong tower. It is a standalone. It don't need anybody adding to it or taking from it. God's word is God's word. And that's why we read it. That's why this assignment was given to me some years ago. We have gone through a lot. We have gone through the Greek version. We've gone through the Hebrew version. We've gone chronological. And now we've gone through Dr. Charles Stanley's daily devotional. And next year, and we've also touched on some of Tony Evans's, past Dr. Tony Evans's words. But we are coming this year out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles, Daily Bible Biblical Principles for each day of the year. And we are on November 22nd. And I'm going to tell you, today's word has done something to my spirit. It's got me fired up, y'all. Woo, hallelujah. Because God is giving us a promise. As his children, we are adopted in. We are adopted in, and God is saying, I am calling you. I am calling you back. I'm calling you back to me. He's wanting our hearts to be unhardened. He's wanting us to accept who he is. And this is, I love this word from Dr. Stanley this morning. And it says, answers the life question. How can I help to restore someone to fellowship with God? And it says, it's the term restore is an interesting one. In ancient Greek, it means to set a broken bone back in place. In restoring someone, we do not place bandages on small cuts, but instead we set broken spiritual bones. Therefore, the work is often long and painful. The steps to restore are as follows. And if you want to grab a pen or a pencil, please do so. And this is the restore, to replace those broken spiritual bones. to restore, lead the person to recognize his failures. Help him to see the nature of the problem and to call it by its right name, sin. As long as a person can rationalize his behavior, he will never accept responsibility for it. You can't Lord Jesus. We have to understand we are all sinful. And we all have sinned and fall short, but we got to recognize our sin. If your sin is procrastination, recognize it. And I'm going to tell you, I have that problem on occasion. And I'm trying my best, Lord, remove that from me, a spirit of procrastination, knowing that you got things to do and then your mind goes every which way. You know you have a short time to get some stuff done, and you just piddle because your mind is here, your mind is there. You go here, you go there, you kind of all over the place. And God's saying, stop, focus. So you got to recognize your failure. I'm speaking for myself. I want to be restored as well, just like everybody else. I want that full restoration. And it goes on to say, number two, lead the person to acknowledge responsibility for his sin. If you're running late, it's on you because you procrastinated getting ready. You went in and picked up here and put up there, and you need to pick up more and do more. Come on now. We all got it. We all got to ask God forgiveness and say, okay, I can't keep blaming somebody else. Oh, well, I got a phone call. Oh, I got this. You know how to say, I'm sorry, I'm really busy. I got to get to work. I got to go to church. I got things to do. Can I call you back after I'm done? Can I call you back later? But instead, you want to blame, oh, I got called by such and such, and I did this, and I did that. No, stop. I'm speaking to me. I'm not talking about anybody but myself. Blaming others will do no good. Others may have been involved, but the person close to sin, but the person chose to sin. And claiming proper responsibility is essential to restoration. I'm running late because of my own self. Not because I got a phone call, because if I had got ready when I was supposed to, the phone call would not have affected me at all. I'm speaking for me. I can't talk about nobody else. Lead the fallen saint to repent. Pray that the Holy Spirit will convict the person to feel remorse, regret, and grief. Repentance means a change of mind leading to a change of conduct. Paul taught that one thinking must change first, then our actions will follow. Got to get rid of the stinking thinking, y'all. God is talking. I'm not, like I said, I can't talk about nobody. I can only talk about my own procrastination. And I'm asking God to remove it. I'm taking responsibility. Got to get up. Got to get stuff going. Got to do what you got to do. As we go to next, number four, lead the person to receive a message. God wants to teach him. Ooh, and God has taught me today. Thank you, Jesus, for Ezekiel. Sometimes a person is stubborn and resistant and reluctant to learn, but failure is unprofitable only when we refuse to learn from the experience. If we learn and grow, we have not utterly failed. We have taken the opportunity to learn more about ourselves and about our God. Hallelujah. I got to tell my procrastinating problem about my God instead of asking God, Lord, please help. No. God said, you know what to do. Get up and do it. Just do it. Come on now. We can't continuously always blame everybody else for our own sinful selves. Lead the sinful believer to respond to God's chastisement with gratitude. And believe me, I have had my behind tore up for procrastination. But not getting what I got to get done in a timely manner. Come on now. You know, you got to get back into that atmosphere. When I retired, it's like all kind of stuff went right down the drain with retirement. You know, being timely. You know, doing what you need to do and getting it done. You know, being organized. It's like, Lord, what has happened to me? You know, I tell you, we got to get ourselves back together. And I'm talking to me. Can't talk about y'all. Bridget Marie's got to get herself back together and know that everything that I do reflects on God. So that, and as a minister, I have to lead all of those that I come in contact with that are not the Lord. How to do it? You got to do it first with yourself. Lead the person to recognize his failure. Recognize your failure. Lead the person to acknowledge responsibility for his sin. You got to acknowledge your sins too. Lead the fallen saint to repent. I have to repent just like everybody else. Lead the person to receive the message God wants to teach him. Every day when I open this biblical instruction before leaving earth, God is teaching me something. God is leading me to get better, to be a better person, to be a better minister, to be a better follower of Christ Jesus. Lead the sinful believer to respond to God's chastisement with gratitude. I am thankful, grateful, and blessed every day that I learn something new. Every day that God tells me, okay, daughter, you just messed up. And then I get chastised. Come on now. The one leading might point out two helpful verses. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word, and it gives for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes, Psalms 119, 67, 71. And I tell you, we've read Psalms 119, and I tell you something. To just sit down one day and read the whole entire Psalms 119, it's going to take a little bit of time. But I tell you, it will change your life. We read it in portions, but if you just sit and read it all in one day, it will change your life. It changed mine. And I tell you, it's helping me to get better. And it says, gently remind the person how wonderful it is that God loves us enough to chastise us and to mend us. God will never crush the one he loves so dearly. We got to learn how to say, I'm sorry. I messed up. Forgive me. And we have to do it. If you mess up in front of folks, you got to repent in front of folks. If you go astray in front of folks, you got, again, repent in front of folks. People have to see the new you, the better you, the godly you. For we are all children of God. And we all need restoration. We all need a tune-up. And this is what it says. The goal of all spiritual restoration is to help our sinning brothers and sisters come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. 2 Timothy 2:26. What a joy is ours when we see God put a new heart and a new spirit in them, causing them to walk joyfully and willfully in his ways and to keep his commandments for their own good. Woo, hallelujah. This word has touched my heart this morning. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And some life lessons from this Ezekiel word this morning, Ezekiel 36:21. I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations. Our behavior not only reflects how much or little we love God, also either attracts or repels those who do not yet know God. Our connection to God should draw others to God. If you are acting up, you can be causing someone else to sin. If you showing out, you can cause someone else to sin. If you cussing and fussing and having a meltdown, you can cause someone else to sin, especially if you are claiming to be a child of the Most High God, if you are claiming to be a Christian, if you are claiming to be a believer in Jesus Christ, if you are claiming salvation and you show out, you have changed the dynamics. You have caused someone to sin, and you need a tune-up. You need a tune-up. And how do we tune up? We go to the Word of God. And God has spoken this morning in His Word. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. Ezekiel 36 and 26. I will, not pastor, not minister, not elder, not apostle, not prophet, not prophetess, not overseer, not anybody, but God said, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. We got to ask God for the tune-up. Lord, put a new heart in me. Unharden my heart. Lord, put a new spirit in me. Light me up, Lord God. Remove all darkness from my heart, from my mind, from my spirit. Hallelujah. And we got to go to the Word again. And this is what Dr. Stanley said. God does not want remodeled hearts, but brand new ones. He doesn't want a reformed in character, but a new spirit that loves to do His will. He wants transformation, not mere accommodation. Can I say that again? God wants transformation and not mere accommodation. The Bible is full of predictions that God will bring His ancient people back to their promised land and there give them a heart to joyfully follow Him. Paul saw this as a tremendous news for Gentile Christians, Romans 11 and 12. And if time permits, we'll go and hit some other scriptures besides what we're that are in our lesson this morning. But I am so, Lord God, I got to pepper myself because this word has touched my heart. It touched it the last time I read it, and it's touching me again. Hallelujah. I want to unheart. Renew me, O Lord. Tune me up and make me brand new. Hallelujah. Put a new engine in. A new transmission. A new starter. Hallelujah. We want to be tuned up and made new. Jesus, thank you for your life, for your blood, for your sacrifice. And a word of God came in Psalms 131. And our Psalms 131 says this, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty, neither do I concern myself with great manners, nor with things too profound for me. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord. From this time forth and forever, as you get that tune up, as you get a new heart and a new spirit within you, we got to get out of dealing with all the foolishness that's going on. We got to pray and keep it moving forward and not get caught up in foolishness. And it says this in Psalms 131 and 1, Lord, my heart is not haughty nor my eyes lofty. It takes humility to admit that some things are bigger than us or just plain beyond us. If the great David could call himself a flea and a dead dog, 1 Samuel 24:14, maybe we have more to learn about humility. Hallelujah. As we go into our Proverbs word, Proverbs 29:2-3, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked man rules, the people groan. Whoever loves wisdom makes his father rejoice, but a companion of harlots wastes his wealth. And I tell you this, pastors, and I'm speaking to the senior pastors today, have authority in your church. Don't allow the enemy to step his foot in the door. You better say, not today, Satan, and start speaking the truth to power. Because the enemy is trying to send power of darkness into churches every day, causing confusion, causing things to go on that are not like God. And pastors, get authority. Take over your churches. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. You wonder why your congregation is happy, why they smiling, why they going and doing whatever it is that needs to be done in the church body, because you have authority. Because you speak the truth, because you allow God to use you in many ways. instead, you're lifting them up to be better. Be the men and women of God that they need to be the best children they can be. As you say, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. But it takes when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. We got to understand we need righteousness within the churches. We need righteous authority within the body of Christ. We got to quit allowing the enemy to step his foot in the door to create confusion. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan. You better get it and understand it. God is speaking to us today. Authoritarianism is running rapid, and we got to nip it in the bud. And how do you nip it in the bud? With this B-I-B-L-E, this basic instruction before leaving earth, and allow yourselves to read it, to study it, to meditate on it day and night as the word of God has told us. We got to know the word, because when you know the word, you can fight darkness. Within you. I'm on fire this morning because this word has done something to me. Hallelujah. And as we go into James, and we know James was the brother of the Savior, and even James had to go and get saved too, because as his siblings, they was like, oh, that's just Jesus. That's just Joshua. Yeah, he ain't that special. Your older brother, but you know that. And these devils have changed the word of God. That these were Jesus' half-brothers. They were half-brothers because they did have an earthly father. And Jesus had a heavenly father. But they had the same mother. James came through Mary just like Jude, just like Jesus, just like everything he had, named and not named. And we got to know that she was a virgin until the day she died. You can't be a virgin and have a child. She had Jesus, which made her no longer a virgin. She became Joseph's wife and gave him children. That's the real word. That's the word of God. And we got to stand on the word of God. Don't let doctrine get you off course. God's word is God's word. Let's go to James 3, 1 through 18. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that you shall receive a stricter judgment. Here I am. Anybody, because I'm teaching the word of God. I'm reading the word of God. And God will hold me accountable if I mess up, knowing that we shall receive a strict judgment. For we all stumble many things. If anyone does not stumble in words, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member. Things. Come on, y'all. This little membrane behind our teeth has the power of death and life. This little membrane behind our teeth can build up or tear down. This little member behind our teeth can be truthful or it can lie. We got to understand there is power in this little thing that we call a tongue. But let's see what James has to say. It says, see how great a force a little fire kindles. How all you got to do is look at California. Just a few embers have burned up thousands and thousands and thousands of acres of land, have displaced thousands of people, have killed many. We're not going to even call the animals that have probably died in these forest fires caused by a little kindle of fire. And it goes on to say, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. But every kind of beast bird, of reptile, and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God or in the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. James is powerful. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And can the church say amen this morning? We have had a word from the Lord. This word has been powerful. Woo! It has been powerful. And all I can say is thank you, God, for Ezekiel and for David and for Solomon and for James who preached this morning. And touched by this awesome word of God. And it goes on to tell us we all stumble in many things. None of us has become perfect. None of us does everything right. None of us is so. I always remember this. Remembering this keeps us humble. We got to be humble. We got to know that we are all children of God. And we are blessed. We are blessed by the grace of Christ Jesus. We are made humble. Ask God to give you a hand to help you back up. If you mess up, clean up. My pastor said that all the time. If you mess up, clean up. We clean up, who we hang out with. Clean up. Hey, James just told us this little membrane behind our teeth, like a fire, it can burn up some stuff. It can create confusion. It can create turmoil. It can create chaos. And as James said in 3 and 5, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. James does not mean to glorify the power of the tongue, but rather he wants to show how even a very small part of our body remains out of our control, so long as we try to control it in our own strength. Come on now. And we can talk about the body of Christ. We can't control the body of Christ in our own strength. Church bodies are dissolving every day into chaos because of a tongue. We got to pray and ask God to guide us and lead us and help us to be better. James 3 and 17, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. God's wisdom leads to harmony, while human wisdom leads to arrogance and dissension. Can you say that again? God's wisdom leads to harmony, and peace, while human wisdom leads to arrogance and dissension. What kind of wisdom do you tend to rely on? You can answer that question by evaluating your relationships. Who do you hang out with? Are you hanging out with negativity? Are you hanging out with positivity? I thank God for young people with wisdom. I thank God for those that would kind of get us back on track when we get off track. Not perfect, but grateful that God sends great people into your life. People with calm spirits and righteous hearts. Thanking God for a church body that I attend. The joy of the Lord, which is our strength. We are grateful that God has given us a pastor who has humility and a humble heart, who goes to God, and God works it out every time. But they have. So I thank God for my church body. I thank God for the ministers in my life and for the pastors in my life. I thank God for each and every one of you today as we have gotten through this awesome word of God. Again, the prophet is spoken. God has spoken. And God's word is magnificent and true. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for this day. For you are good. You are great and greatly to be praised. And I am so grateful. So grateful. This word, not only that I gave to you, I gave to me. And I can say nothing but thank you, Lord. And if there is anyone that God has given a word to speak this morning, push the number 1 on your phone. Whew. It's such a woo in my spirit. God is with me. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't have anything else this morning except for a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And I ask you to please keep her in your prayers as she travels this week to visit with her grandchildren, her granddaughter, and her daughter and her daughter's family. So please keep her in your prayers as she travels. For she is a mighty woman of God, and God has given us a word today. And the word this morning, if God can bring you to it, he will take you through it. He has you. Have a marvelous day. And as we know from our word, and he thought he was bringing it through it, because that's for us. God will bring us to it. He will, to the storm. And I'm going to say that, thank you, Lord. He will bring us to our storms in life. But I can tell you one thing. He will bring you through the storms of life. That when you get to the other side, there will be. When you get to the other side, there will be. When you get to the other side, God, there will be a Savior. There will be joy, love, peace. There will be everything you can ask for. And you can charge. And he will never bring us through. More than he bring us to, more than he can bring us through. So I say to you this morning, have a blessed and wonderful day. And as James said, we got to go to work. But watch that little thing behind the teeth. We shall live and not die. Because to die is to live in Christ Jesus. Because absent from this earthly body is in the presence of the Lord. And we know that God has got open arms ready to receive us. Trust the Lord today. Trust in his word today. And know that he is in charge. And he will give you super duper strength to accomplish what you need to accomplish. Why? Because he loves you. He loves me. He loves us. Thank you, Father God, for this mighty word this morning. As we lift up the name of Jesus, thanking you for your son, oh God. Let this word that has been spoken, Lord God, permeate hearts, permeate minds, permeate spirit, that we will know that there is no God like you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, I give you thanks for being my dad, for loving me more than I love myself, for giving me a word to think about, to meditate on, to allow to change my life. In Jesus' name, again I pray. Amen, amen. And I pray again for all of you. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In Jesus' holy and precious name, I pray over you and yours, over your families, as they are traveling highways, byways, skyways. I ask God to give them safety, to surround them with his loving angels, that no hurt, no harm, no danger will fall nigh to them that travel, nigh to them that go forth, nigh to them that love the Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Be blessed, because you are already highly favored by God. And I say one more time, and I pray one more time, that God gives you a new heart and puts a new spirit within you, that you will know there is no God like our God and that he loves us. Be blessed, family. It is, as we say on Moving Forward, it's a wrap. Why? Because we're always willing, ready, available, present, and praying for each and every one of you, each and every one of you. And now it's time to go to work. And who do we work for? We work for God. Be blessed and have a wonderful day. And if God willing, join me tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, live on Moving Forward with Minister Bridget. And our call-in number is 213-943-3597. Be blessed. It's a wrap.